This is the Real Magic Podcast. Learn about great design and use it to get great results. Now your hosts, Greg Merrilees and Alan Nunez.
Hello, listener, and thank you for joining Greg and I today for the Real Magic Design Podcast, where we try to unpack our experience to help designers and business owners understand how to create amazing designs and work together to make design that is profitable. I'm Alan from Pixel Partners HQ, and here is my co-host, Greg, from Studio One Design.
G'day, Al. How are you, buddy?
Man, I'm awesome. How are you doing?
You're always awesome, man. You're always pumped. I love that about you.
You know what? I cannot wait to get onto this podcast.
Yeah, I'm the same, man. It's, you know, it's like Tim Reed from Small Business Big Marketing says, you've got to lean into it. And when you do, it's more enjoyable.
Absolutely. I mean, we've got a few under our belt now. We're getting a really good flow, great feedback from people. Mate, what have we got going on this podcast?
Today, we're talking about design. Why submit just one design at a time versus many at a time? So we're calling the episode One Shot, One Kill.
Yeah, that one shot, one kill comes from our team. You know, we have this goal to be so focused on the client's brief that the initial design concept literally just blows their socks off, you know. So, yeah, we're a big fan of supplying just one concept initially. Look, you can't always get it right, but I mean, I think we'll get more into that shortly. Hey, Greg, what have you had going on this week?
Mate, I'm just leaning into, marketing essentially. So just trying to, you know, do some more content marketing, chopping up some of the recent webinars that I recorded, and just working out a marketing plan for the next few months just to, you know, really try and step up our client base, I guess. What about you?
Mate, that seems to be a common thread for you. You know, you really do focus on your business, you know, which is kind of nice to see. A lot of people in the creative industries, we kind of get caught up in the business. I know I'm at fault of that.
Oh, so am I. Absolutely.
Yeah, man. No, look, I've been spending a bit of time with the kids, which has been really, really nice. You know, just I'm actually trying to have more of a clean break from my work, you know. So the temptation to dig into the iPhone or into the iPad and check emails and have a look at what's going on. I mean, I've got a holiday planned in a couple of months and, I'm really hoping – well, no, I'm not hoping. I know that I can just pack up and go away and everything will function without me. So what I'm trying to do at the moment is just take a halfway step towards that and just leave the team to do what they're really, really good at.
Fantastic. I found last year when I went away for, you know, a week or so, I found a hole in the business and it's a good time to find out what's not working. And then, you know, when you come back, you can put a solution to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, often things don't come to light until you actually step back and let everybody do what they're supposed to be doing. You know, if you interfere too much, well, I found when I interfere too much, you know, I break the machine.
Yeah, there you go. But then it's taken you a few years to get to that stage, right?
It has, but in hindsight, I should have the nickname the Spanner because, honestly, my business operates really well when I don't interfere in it.
Yeah, okay. Wow, that's pretty awesome.
You know, so even when I was doing a lot of the work myself, I would still interfere in other things that were happening in production or operations where I really just didn't need to.
Like micromanaging?
Yeah, or just breaking it. I can admit it. I can admit it. I would get involved where I don't need to be involved. I mean,
That's clearly not your intention. Like, why do you feel like you needed to jump into something and then the outcome is you break it?
It's not that I break it. You know, I just make it run. I make it rattle, you know. Yeah, okay. Literally, if you drop a spanner into an engine bay, it may not break the engine, but it's going to rattle around in there. It's going to make noise. And I've always said I've got a team of superstars. You know, I just like being involved. I think, you know, maybe I'm a little bit of a workaholic, we could call it that. You know, I just I like being in the process. But because I'm the boss, they're going to often take steps that they may not have taken because I'm in the way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It'll be an interesting topic, you know. How often do you break your business?
Cool, man. Let's save it for another episode. But this week we're talking about one shot, one kill. So what's the first question, Al?
Well, look, this is the thing, right? So I already gave a little precursor to one shot, one kill, which is my team and Pixel Partners, we deliver a single design concept from a brief, right? And I know we're going to get a little bit of controversy from designers and clients alike on this topic. But we made that decision, or I made that decision, even prior to Pixel Partners ever existing. So the question we're going to chat about initially is, what's better? When you deliver a design brief as a client to a customer, is it better for the designer to deliver one concept, or should they deliver multiple concepts on the initial design brief?
Well, I love the fact that, you know, I have a name for this now, thanks to you and your business, One Shot, One Kill, because that's pretty much what I've always stood by throughout, you know, my design businesses, last 15 years or so. And, you know, there's a few reasons why we like to submit just one design at a time. And I think the main reason is because, we don't really want to waste time. We don't want to waste the client's money. We're a team of professional designers. So if we submit our best design at the start, then that's all they should really need.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it forces the designer or the design team to really focus down on the brief, you know,
yeah.
Because, you know, it's very easy just to open a blank document and start placing assets you've been supplied on a page, right?
Sure.
And often it's not with purpose, you know, in my opinion, you know. And particularly if you know when you start that you've got to design or supply more than one concept, right? You kind of got to think to yourself, well, how could I, you know, come up with two or three different ways?
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say, right, that a designer isn't going to come up with multiple concepts. It's just that they need to refine that to the point where it matches the brief.
Absolutely. And, I mean, speaking about concepts, we don't actually present concepts as such. We go straight to final art, whether it's a logo or a web page or whatever the case is. And it's because, once again, we're trying to save time. And I believe, you know, the way we design mainly is the design itself comes about in like throughout the design process. It's not until the end that you can see the final result. And if we present just a concept or a pencil sketch or whatever the case is, it might not be enough for the client to visualize how it's going to turn out.
That's a really good point. We're talking about design concept. I think what I mean by design concept is the first iteration,
first
proof of what you're delivering. So
yeah,
for our team, they go to pencil first, right? So they use, I don't know if you've seen the app Paper by 53. So they'll use either the iPad with the Paper app, which is a beautiful app for designers if anybody's interested in having a look at it. Or they'll use physical pencil and paper. So they have watercolors, they have different grades of paper, different grades of pencil. They've got a stack of stuff, a resource to them, and they draw up what they believe would be the framework for the concepts that they're going to drill down. And then they sit down with their team leader or the creative director, present those, and they say, well, which of these matches the brief or is closest to the brief?
Do they present them to the client?
No.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Right. So this is the thing, right? Customers, remember, just because a designer supplies you one proof doesn't mean they haven't gone through the process.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
The way I figure it, right, if I was a customer and a client and a designer, I've given them a really solid brief, you know, and they come back to me with three different versions of something. One of them or two of them obviously aren't as good as the other.
Yeah.
Right. So why ask the designer to come up with two substandard designs? Why not just have them go through the process and offer you the one that they think is the absolute best for you and your business?
Yeah, couldn't agree more, man. Yeah, that's the way we do it. And, you know, it's a benefit to the client as well if you do it that way, even though they might not see it that way.
Look, and I think sometimes too, and it depends on the design, it really helps. I think we've talked about this on another episode where the brief should follow the initial proof, right? And if it's a fairly complex design, or there are some elements that may be a little out there, explain to your customer why you designed it the way you designed it. You know, give them the logic behind it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I mean, usually, you know, you might start with a series of questions before you start designing anyway. And then as long as the design matches, you know, the brief, then, you're going to have a pretty good leg to stand on why you did what you did.
Yeah. I think I like what you said before, you know, when it comes down to the design, you don't want to waste time, for either your team or for your client, right?
Yeah.
So why ask them to develop out something that's not going to be as good? Just go through a process of removing the crap to come up with the best design, you know, from your concepts.
Yep, absolutely. So how does one concept help the customer?
Look, I think it's pretty simple, right? I think it's a matter of a designer, if you offer more than one design, you're asking the client who's not an expert, right, to choose which is the best design, right? Mm. And that's a lot of, you know, that's a lot of pressure on a designer, on a customer, right? Like, yep. You know, they in their mind, they may think, yeah, I can make this choice, but why are they choosing one over the other?
Yeah, it certainly doesn't help them. I mean, they can get paralyzed with choice. And, you know, honestly, as a designer, you're degrading your own expertise if you offer more than one. It's almost saying, we don't know which one's better, you decide.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I've had designers say to me, you know, I've said to them, well, which one of these do you think is better? All right, back years and years ago, I worked with a design team that always provided two options on the initial proof, right?
Yep.
And then I started within the office saying, well, why don't we try and pick which one the customer thinks is going to be better, right? Yeah. And, you know, I had comments from designers saying, oh, well, the clients always pick the worst one. You know, this one's way better from a design point of view, but they're going to pick that one. And you're like, but if this is better for them from a design point of view, why are you offering the other substandard one? You know, at the end of the day, trust your design team. You know, like you say, you don't want to devalue your own work. And it is a bit of a trust thing, I think.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So really, you know, if the client has more than one option in front of them and they can't, you know, rely on their design team to decide for them, I think the outcome's going to be worse. And, you know, we could be talking about, you know, any type of design here, whether it's a logo or web page or whatever, but realistically, the designer is the expert and they are the one that should present their best work. It's as simple as that, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, and you know what? I know what the next question is going to be, and I've got a couple of comments to add to that, because you're right, you know, at the end of the day, when you send it to a client, what are they going to do? They're not going to make the decision by themselves. They're going to go and ask their peers, other people in the office, their management team, then they're going to take it home and ask their wife and their kids and then, you know, the barbecue on the weekend. So then they've got to filter through all these opinions of people who are not design experts.
So then, yeah, I guess we're leading towards, you know, what if you use a crowdsourcing design service?
Oh, look, that's a whole nother story. I mean, I can't say that terrible work comes out of crowdsourcing solutions like 99designs, right? Because there are some very good designers in there.
Absolutely.
But again, you know, you talk about paralysis. It's a lot of customers have a difficult time picking from two options or three options.
Mm.
What happens when you have 50 options, right? And how do you know if you are picking the right item?
That's exactly right. I mean, like you said, the client, you know, they're going to an expert to get a result and they really need to rely on that expert. And so if they're not an expert, how do they know that the 50 designers are experts or not? They don't. And realistically, they might only get maybe if somebody, you know, submits, if they have 50 designs submitted, there might only be two or three that have been extremely professional and followed the brief to a T and got the best result. And how do you know which ones they are?
And I think with a lot of those services too, you can't pick one out and then go back to that person and say, well, why did you design this like this?
Yeah, that's right. You would need an explanation from each of them. And yeah, before you know it, it could be a waste of time. Having said that, there are some brilliant, you know, results on or brilliant designers on there.
And look, you know, it has its place. Like, let's be realistic, okay? If you're a little tiny startup business with a limited budget and you need a minimum viable product and you want something quick, then there's a solution. But I think in that scenario, any business owner that does that probably has in the back of their head that in, you know, in the near future that they may very well have to rebrand. You know, it may just be, you know, a promotional logo for a kid's sports club. Okay, well, why not? You know, there isn't always the need to go through the entire process. Like, let's be realistic. Not everybody has the budget for it. Not everybody has the need to go through that. You know, if you've got a committee of five parents and they're having a fundraiser and they want a fundraiser logo, between the five of them, they can vote on the different versions of the logos in the crowdsourcing. They'll get something that will be more than adequate for what they need.
Absolutely.
You know, so, you know, it has its place. I doubt very much you're going to see, you know, the Commonwealth Bank getting their next logo from 99 Design. But, yeah, I don't think it's an issue, but I just, why would you put yourself through that pain? I actually had somebody say to me a few months ago, they really enjoyed the process. And I went, wow, you must be a sucker for pain. I did actually said it to her, you know.
How many hours did that person put into it?
You know, it was actually quite a bit. She said it did take her probably 10 to 20 hours to make those decisions. That's a big investment, I think. And she did say between showing other people and then waiting for new concepts and that sort of stuff. But and admittedly, her logo is quite nice, although I was consulting to her for some new uses of the logo and it did have some limitations. So it was going to have to go to our team to be fixed.
Okay.
So that it could be used in those different media. So,
I see. So you had to. Was it a bit too many effects thrown in?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, fair enough.
We've talked about why we think One Design concept is really, really, you know, good. We've also mentioned that we do think it's better for the customer. We're not doing it to be lazy. And I will tell you, sometimes with our team, it does take quite a bit of work to get to that final design. And I know that's a fact for you guys as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we offer unlimited revisions.
The next step, right, is Mr. Designer, you've decided I'm only supplying one proof or one concept, one initial design, right? You've said, okay, I'm going to accept one design, right? But what happens then?
Well, right? What if you don't like that one design?
Well, exactly. You know, so I guess that brings us to feedback. You know, when you're reviewing the design, you know, what should you be focused on? And I really think that this should be looked at from both the designer's point of view and the customer's point of view. Oh, I know, Greg, you asked me a question about, you know, what do I say if somebody asks? For two versions, right?
Yeah, what do you say?
Yeah, I say no.
No.
Right? I'm not rude about it, but I come back and I ask them some questions. You know, I say, well, you know, what is it about this design? And I start going through the feedback process there, right? So there are situations where we might present a design and they hate it, right? But that doesn't mean they hate the entire design. Right. So we as professionals, we need to probe deeper. You know, is it the font? Is it the colours? Is it the layout? Is it the imagery? You know, what is it about this design that's not working for the customer? I would say more often than not, and, you know, you tell me if you agree with me on this, Greg, but more often than not, if you present a singular design, most clients are going to like it and need some small revisions.
Yeah, most of the time, absolutely. Yeah, and when you do dig deeper, you can reveal what they do and don't like. And so what we like to do is just, you know, before we submit our best design, is go over the design brief or questionnaire again and make sure it really matches everything that the client's answered in there, including, you know, who the target market is. You have to make sure it resonates with them more so than anything. And you know, does it suit the brief, you know, the purpose of the design, et cetera. And so those questions are probably more important. And if the client doesn't like it, you can refer back to the questionnaire and figure out if it matches that or not. And if not, then it's a good discussion point to, you know, at least educate the client why you've done what you've done.
Look, absolutely. And I think if you're a customer, right, and if you're not sure about a part of the design and you think you don't like it, you've got to ask the right questions. So don't, you know, one of the common things is, I don't like that photo, change it. Okay, great. Well, why don't you like that photo? Or the better question is, instead of the designer having to ask, why don't you like that better photo, the customer should think about going to the designer and say, why did you select that photo in that position?
Yeah, why? Yep. Yeah. Always ask why. Yeah.
So quite often that's not the sense. I don't like, change it, right? Or I'm not sure about this. What else can we do? Instead of asking that, you should say, well, why did you choose that? And then go through the process of, okay, I understand why it was selected. Now do we need to change it? Because quite often when you put something into context, and remembering that often a lot of designs are not for you, the person commissioning the design. They're for your customer. They're for your prospect. They're for somebody else who's viewing that design.
Yeah, to have a result.
Yeah, to get a result. Absolutely. You know, the other thing I think both the designer and the customer should do if they're not happy with that initial concept is say, well, what could I remove from this to make the message stronger, to make the design stronger? You know, often it's change or add. Very, it's not often that people say, well, can you remove this, 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 and this? It's always, sorry, I shouldn't say always. It's often my experience that people try and add to resolve the design issue rather than remove. Do you find that?
Yeah, it depends on you know, what you're talking about. Sometimes it could be a, you know, packaging or let's say a website, whatever. And, you know, they, you might be matching their brief where they've asked for this and this and this, but really, if you take things away, you'll get a better result.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, that's what you're saying as well. I beg your pardon. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, mate.
Whereas most of the time it's like, can you add in this? Can you put more of that? Can you make this bigger?
Yeah, okay. So from the client's point of view, I see. I just had it flipped in my head. Yeah,
yeah,
understood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I guess the designer could ask the same thing. If they come back and say, oh, look, I don't like this design, yeah, the designer could ask, well, what could we remove from this design?
You know, yeah, 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 absolutely.
I think the other thing too is if you don't like something, ask yourself the question, is it consistent with my branding? You know, because just because at a glance you don't like it, again, like I said before, this may not be for you. It may be for your customer or your client or your prospect. And, you know, get that out of the way first. There is a chance the design is off-brand. It doesn't represent you properly, whether it be fonts, colours, whatever it is. It may not be friendly enough if you're a friendly type of business, and it may not be corporate enough if you're a very professional business. But you ask yourself the question, is this consistent with my branding before you start tearing it apart?
Mm, yeah, most definitely.
What about if the client absolutely hates that first version? Does that happen to you very often, Greg?
Look, it can happen and it has happened. And if that's the case, I mean, we generally refer back to our design process, and in our internal process, we might already have another version that we decided, you know, wasn't the one to submit, and then we'll refer back to that and see, you know, and just see if it does fit the bill. And if not, we'll probably tweak that one to, you know, based on the client's feedback, to then present what, you know, we still think is a good concept, but might be closer to what the client wants.
I think that often when you get it that wrong on the first design, I don't mean you personally, Greg, sorry, but when a designer gets it that wrong on the first design, there's a fundamental flaw in the briefing process.
There could be.
And it's not always the customer's fault. They may not have had the correct information at the time, or the perspective may have changed in the 2 weeks from taking the brief to getting that first concept, you know.
Or there could have been an internal issue like, you know, not enough time has been allocated to it.
Yeah, yeah. It's been rushed, possibly. Yeah. Yeah. So, look, but regardless, you kind of stand your ground on the concepts that you've designed. You still stand by them, and then you go back and refine one of them to bring it closer to adhering to the feedback, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. Not more than, I think, a week or two ago, I had a conversation with a client who hated a design. And I've got to say to you, we'd been working on this for a while, and it turned out that all we needed to do was do some small Photoshop edits to the image. You know, the designer would have gone back and redesigned it, would have tried to come up with something all new, because they'd just written it off completely. And really all it meant, all that was wrong was the perspective on the image was just not quite right, and the colouring was just not quite right. And those two little tweaks, we sent it back to them and they loved it.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
You know, so don't Don't assume the worst. You know, really drill down to, well, are you happy with the headline? Are you happy with the way we've presented your copy? You know,
and so what you're saying, the key is communication, and that's what we always come back to.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
You know, if and communication is often through your team's either ticketing system or project management system or whatever. But if the result's just not happening, what I like to do is just pick up the phone or Skype and just, you know, have a conversation with the client to really nut out what the issue could be.
You know, that's really interesting, right? But I think we need to take it a step further. You know, we should be asking hard questions when we get feedback, right? So, I mean, a classic example would be, oh, can I see that? I'm going to use headline as an example, but it could be whatever. Could I see that in blue versus green? There's no harm in the designer asking why. Can I ask you why you would like to see it in blue? You know, we chose green for these reasons.
Yeah, as long as there's a good explanation.
Yeah, tell me why. Oh, I'm just not sure about the green. Okay, well, before I change it to blue, the green is the right green as per your brand. It matches this, it matches that, right? Or the flip side of that is the client might say, well, you know, we've been in business 25 years and we've always had our headline in blue. And even though green is part of our brand colors, we've always had it in blue and we'd like to maintain that consistency. Well, there's a really good reason to change it.
Yeah.
You know, but you wouldn't have known that if you didn't ask why. You would have just changed it. And I see it all the time in designers and my design team where client comes back and says, can you change it to blue? And they just change it.
Yeah.
They don't ask. I mean, for me, it's a little different, right? Our design team is working for other professional designers. So they've gone through that process. When they do come to us and say, change it to blue, we're not going to question that designer. There have been times where we do. They will make the decision to go back and go, are you sure the reason why we did this is because in the initial brief you told us, you know, X, Y, Z, and the designer will often come back and go, oh, that's a good point. Let me talk to my client. So, you know, don't be afraid to ask the hard questions.
Yeah, look, I fully agree. It's all, in my opinion, it all comes down to communication. Communication, however you want to communicate, as long as you communicate to get the best result for the client, that's the end goal.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so here's one other scenario for you, right? What happens if this is getting out of control? What happens if you've delivered one design brief, they've kind of ummed and ahed about it, you've got the feedback, and you've been going back and forwards for 2 months making changes? What do you do?
What do you do?
I think you sort of alluded to it before. You pick up the phone. I think there should be both the customer and the designer should be comfortable in pausing the design process and pulling on the reins and saying, hang on a minute, why are we doing this? Why are we going back and forwards on all these incremental little changes? What are we missing here? There's got to be something missing in the equation. You know, sometimes you have to go back and forwards a lot of times because there are multiple stakeholders, but you have to draw the line in the sand somewhere and maybe just get everybody on a conference call and work through it.
Yeah, that's true. Yep, absolutely. And, yeah, I mean, you know, you don't want it to come to that, but it can happen. I mean, we do offer unlimited revisions. It's mainly because the revisions are so minor after the, you know, it's really just looking for typos or whatever the case is, that it doesn't take long to make these minor changes. So as long as they love the initial overall look and feel of the, you know, either version 1 or 2, then from that point, it's little tweaks normally. But sometimes it can get out of hand. And then, yeah, I just come back to communication. However you want to do that, just drill down into why.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but yeah. I've seen people, you know, change a main image in a design 6 times. You know, and you've got to stop and say, well, hang on a minute. What are you trying to get out of this image? You know, why have we changed it 6 times? You know, I mean, if we're searching for the image, we're going out to a stock library and we're spending a huge amount of time trying to find this image to put it in place to then change it again and again and again and again. You know, that's something that, and the same with the customer. You know, if you just don't feel like you're getting there, pause the process. And pick up the phone to the designer and say, look, can we just talk through this? You know, start at the top of the page and work our way through the bottom of the page and tell me why you designed it the way you designed it and I'll tell you how I'm feeling about it and let's see if we can't get it resolved.
Exactly, man. And so I hear you have a bit of a reward process. with your one shot, one kill.
Absolutely. You know, look, one shot, one kill came from my team, right? At the end of the day, what I wanted from them was a focus on the brief and seeing if they could get as close as possible to a sign off in the first proof. Right now, that doesn't mean you don't go back and do those little tweaks, you know, change a phone number, for example, right? Or fix a typo. I mean the design concept. The customer sees and goes, that's amazing. I'm happy with that. Let's just finish the minor, you know, text adjustments and off we go, right? So we have a one-shot, one-kill program where it's acknowledged and it's rewarded in amongst the design team. You know, it goes up on our Facebook. If you go to our Facebook for Pixel Partners, you'll see the guys boasting about their one-shot, one-kills, you know. Nice. It actually is on their employee review. How many one-shot, one-kills have they got in the last, well, it depends on whether it's a 3-month review or a 12-month review.
Do they compare?
Look, you know, size matters. I think in a friendly way they do, you know, but it's just a pride thing for them, you know, yeah. That they were able to take the client's brief and deliver something that they were exceptionally happy with in the first iteration. Mind you, and I'm going to put my operations manager and my creative director in the spotlight here, and he's probably going to kill me for this. But Rick, my operations manager and creative director, did not like this concept. You know, he was basically saying to me, you know, it can't be done. You know, he'd been in design for 25 years plus, and he had, you know, really just, you know, never done it differently. So, but you know what? He's a convert now. You know, so okay, it, cool. You can change. Okay. All right. Well, listen, do you reckon we've covered just about everything?
I think so, man. I think I'd love to have some listener feedback, you know, on this episode in the show notes.
Go to our website, find this episode and leave comments, or on iTunes. We'd love a 5-star review. But before we do that, we normally do a killer tip and a listener action each, right? But in this case, we both completely agree on this one. So it's really just one. Do you want to do it, Greg, or do you want me to do it?
I don't mind. I mean, the thing is, yeah, we both, you know, this whole episode, we both have a similar opinion, and that is that you should just, as a designer, present one design at a time, or if your customer requests one at a time.
Yeah, as a customer, you're quite within your rights to say, look, I only want you to present me with the best design that you've got, you know?
Yeah.
And for both the designer and the customer, ask better questions. You know, don't just ask for changes, and designers don't just accept changes. Ask questions. Ask the why questions before you start hacking apart your design. So,
love it. We're going to turn this world into a more beautifully designed place with this process.
Oh, I love that. That should be our catch line.
I love it. Well, it's been fun. Thank you, Al.
Mate, thanks, Greg. It's been awesome. Farewell, listener, and thank you for coming today. Please leave a review on iTunes or go to therealmagic.com and sign up if you haven't already to find out when we have new episodes. I'm Alan from Pixel Partners. Catch you later, Greg.
And I'm Greg from studioundesign.com. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to The Real Magic Podcast. Hear more at therealmagic.com.